Welcome to Kuvera's weekly digest on the most critical developments related to business, finance, and the markets. In this edition, we talk about India's oil import bill and an experiment that can help keep it under control. We also talk about the quarterly earnings of some of India's biggest companies, MNATs and Mankind Farmers IPO. Driving IT home. Earlier this month, the American oil giant Chevron Corp flagged a road trip with three cars from Toyota Motor Corp, the world's largest automaker. The Camry sedan, the RAV4 compact crossover and the Tundra pickup truck will run from Mississippi through Louisiana before ending their journey in Texas. Okay, but what does that have to do with those sitting in India? Well, those cars are exactly what India needs. Or rather, the fuel in those cars is exactly what India needs. You see, those cars are running on petrol that's blended with 50% renewable content and is 40% less carbon intensive than traditional petrol. So what, you may ask? Data made public this week showed that India imported 87.3% of the crude oil it consumed in the year through March 2023 and spent a whopping $158 billion in doing so. So, those cars and that fuel are what India may need. To be sure, those cars and that fuel aren't coming to India anytime soon. And most people in India perhaps wouldn't have even heard of Chevron's experiment, unless, of course, they subscribe to this weekly newsletter. We are also not saying that the experiment will even succeed or that's the only way to go forward. All we are saying is that India must reduce its reliance on imported fuel and find as many as alternatives to petrol and diesel-powered vehicles as possible. So, while Tata Motors, Mahindra and Mahindra as well as Chinese-owned MG Motor and BYD are launching electric vehicles, Japanese automakers Toyota, Honda and Suzuki are focusing on hybrid vehicles. For now, however, India's automobile market remains dominated by conventional vehicles. And automakers aren't really complaining, as sales of passenger vehicles soared almost 27% to 3.9 million units in 2022-23. That helped Maruti Suzuki India Limited, India's largest car maker, to record annual revenue of 1 trillion rupees for the financial year. Maruti this week also said revenue from operations for the January to March quarter grew 20% year-on-year to 32,048 crore rupees while net profit jumped 43% to 2,623 crore rupees. The company also wants to set up a new factory with a production capacity of 10 lakh cars a year to meet growing demand. Earnings snapshot. While Maruti had plenty of reasons to smile this week, the quarterly earnings reports of some other companies weren't that cheerful. Wipro, India's third largest IT services exporter, reported a 0.4% decline in its consolidated net profit for the fourth quarter to 3,075 crore rupees from 3,087 crore rupees a year earlier. Consolidated revenue rose 11.2% to 23,190 crore rupees. Wipro also cautioned that IT services revenue growth in the current quarter could be just 0.6% as clients lower discretionary spending due to weak economic conditions globally. Tech Mahindra also disappointed the street as it reported a 27% drop in Q4 consolidated net profit to 1,125 crore rupees from 1,545 crore rupees a year earlier. Axis Bank, India's third largest private sector lender, reported a standalone loss of 5,728.42 crore rupees for the March quarter. The bank attributed the loss to the cost of buying Citibank's India consumer business during the quarter. Its net interest income, the difference between interest earned and interest expended, surged 33% year-on-year to 11,742.2 crore rupees while net interest margin improved by 73 basis points to 4.22%. Meanwhile, FMCG major Nestle India reported a 25% jump in its profit for the March quarter to 737 crore rupees from 590.7 crore rupees a year earlier. Total sales grew 21% to 4,808 crore rupees. Hindustan Unilever, India's biggest FMCG company, reported a 13% growth in consolidated net profit for the March quarter to 2,601 crore rupees from 2,307 crore rupees a year earlier. Consolidated sales rose 11% to 14,953 crore rupees. Deal Street. Quarterly earnings weren't the only developments that kept the week busy. A number of companies also announced merger and acquisition transactions to boost their capacities, improve market share or gain access to new products. Mumbai-based drug maker Ipca Laboratories said this week it would acquire a 33.38% stake in specialty pharmaceutical company Unichem Laboratories for 1,034 crore rupees. Ipca also made an open offer to buy an additional 26% stake from Unichem's public shareholders for 805.44 crore rupees. Overall, Ipca will spend 1,840 crore rupees to buy a 59.38% stake in Unichem if the open offer succeeds. Godrej Consumer Products Limited has agreed to acquire the FMCG business of Raymond for 2,825 crore rupees. The deal includes the purchase of Park Avenue and Case deodorants and Kamsutra condoms, helping the Godrej Group company strengthen its portfolio of consumer goods. For Gautam Singhania-led Raymond, the deal will help it cut debt. Raymond also said it will now focus only on its lifestyle business, which includes its apparel and garment business, and real estate. Raymond Limited said it will demerge its lifestyle business into Raymond Consumer Care Limited to create a separate listed entity. Raymond Limited will itself be a listed real estate company with investments in engineering and denim businesses. In another deal, a subsidiary of Vaccine King Aadhar Poonawalla-led Serum Institute of India has decided to double its investment to $300 million, 2,458 crore rupees, in one of Biocon Limited's subsidiaries. The additional investment by Serum Institute of Life Sciences and Biocon Biologics Limited comes after the two companies scrapped a deal announced in September 2021. Serum had invested $150 million in Biocon Biologics in November last year. It will now invest an additional $150 million after converting a loan to Biocon Pharma Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary of Biocon Limited, into equity in Biocon Biologics. There is another deal in the making. Non-bank lender Indostar Capital Finance Limited said this week it is exploring options to merge its home loan business with the housing finance arm of JM Financial Limited. A big IPO at last. Moving on from Deal Street to Dalal Street, the initial public offering of Mankind Pharma Limited was covered 15.32 times at the end of bidding on Thursday. Institutional investors bid 49 times their allotted quota, while the portion reserved for high net worth individuals was subscribed 3.80 times. The IPO is entirely an offer for sale by existing shareholders and will fetch them 4,326 crore rupees. This makes it the biggest IPO in India since logistics company's delivery share sale in May 2022 that raised more than 5,000 crore rupees. But does the oversubscription mean India's IPO market is showing signs of a revival and you? Probably not just yet. For one, retail investors bid for only 92% of the shares set aside for them, indicating caution at their end. Moreover, the broader market slowdown is persisting for now. For instance, Mankind is only the sixth company to float an IPO on the main board this year. The other five, including Avalon Technologies and DigiTalk Transfer, raised a total of just about 1,500 crore rupees in 2023 to date. Many other companies are sitting on the sidelines as they await a more conducive environment to launch an IPO. And several, such as TV Supply Chain Solutions Limited, are now reducing the offer size given the economic uncertainty. By the way, what about those who invested in big-ticket IPOs last year? Well, if you did invest in IPOs of companies such as Life Insurance Corp and Delhivery, all we can say is better luck next time. Market wrap. Benchmark indices gained this week, buoyed by a return of foreign portfolio investors. FDIs have invested almost 7,700 crore rupees in Indian stocks in April, after pumping in 7,900 crore rupees last month, according to NSDL. The 30 script Sensex and the 50 stock Nifty ended about 2% higher this week. The Nifty stocks that gained the most this week included Tata Consumer, TCS, Britannia, ITC, Nestle India, Bajaj Finance, SBI, Wipro, L&T, Hero MotoCorp, Adani Enterprises, BPCL, Apollo Hospitals, Bharti Airtel, RIL, Kotak Mahindra, Power Grid, Bajaj Auto, ICICI Bank, HCL Technologies, Titan, Infosys, IndusInd Bank, Adani Ports, and Asian Paints. The Nifty stocks that fell the most included Yes Bank, Maruti Suzuki, Hindustan Unilever, GAIL, Axis Bank, ONGC, Vedanta, Tata Steel, Z Entertainment, and Sun Pharma. That's all for this week. Until next week, happy investing!